So, good morning. Got a question for you. Obvious one, perhaps. How's your prayer life? Title question. Don't need to reply at the moment anyway. As Mike has already said, this is the last in a series that we've been having about prayer. I reckon it's the 13th service that we've had about prayer. We started at the beginning of June. I reckon probably over 4 hours of direct teaching in one way and another. That's based on a certain length of sermons, and perhaps would be longer than that. And we've covered things like devotion, praying with devotion, delight, empowerment, thanksgiving, everyone, certainty, praying honestly, praying transformationally. Yeah, I think that's what it says. So, we're all equipped then, fired up, praying 24/7. You can have the second slide. Gosh, they look really, we need to pray that we can afford a new projector. This is a passage from 1 Thessalonians, I think. The Bible says that we should pray continually. So maybe asking the question, how's your prayer life, isn't the right one. Maybe the question should be, how's your life of prayer? I've not been in every service. I suspect that that applies to the vast majority of us because we've been over the summer and we've been here and there. But over the years that I've been a Christian, I've had a fair amount of teaching about prayer. But I would still say that there are aspects of prayer that I find are the most challenging part of my Christian life, of my walk with God, particularly the whole unanswered prayer aspect. I suspect I'm not the only one, though, who finds particularly perhaps that difficult, but finds it just generally difficult knowing how to pray, what to pray, difficult in one way or another. We don't just learn about prayer, though, do we, from hearing a sermon about it or by reading the Bible, what the Bible says about prayer. I suspect probably for many of us here this morning, our understanding of how to pray and what to pray has come from being in a church service and predominantly listening to someone at the front who's generally perhaps trained in some way, recognised spiritual leader, hearing them pray, whether that's set prayers from a book or prayers that have been formulated in a particular way. And I wonder if that can be a problem for us, for some of us, in having sort of a confidence or knowing how we should pray, whether that's on our own or particularly with others. I'm not knocking prayer led from the front. I feel quite strongly, actually, that it should be done in a right and a proper way. And I could probably do a whole sermon on that, so I'm not going to. Nothing against either using prayers that have been written down by somebody else. I think they can be particularly helpful, particularly perhaps when we're struggling. That's what the Psalms are at the end of the day. But I wonder if it sometimes makes some of us feel that we have to pray in that particular way, to use certain words. I didn't learn to pray, that's the right way to put it, by going to church. I didn't become a Christian through going to church. I didn't really start going to church until after I became a Christian. And even then, that was not where I had the vast majority of my teaching and discipling as a young Christian. That happened, we were encouraged to go to church for worship, but most of the teaching and discipling that I received was in a small group, cell church, it might be called these days. And my tablet has just gone off. excuse me. And there's an example from that teaching that I had early on as a Christian that I've never really forgotten. It was about a chap who, again, a bit like me, was in his 20s, even 30s when he became a Christian, very little Christian background, and had become a Christian through the same kind of cell church that I was involved with. And he hadn't been a very Christian very long, but at the end of a Bible study, he was asked by the person who'd led the Bible study if he'd like to close in prayer, which he agreed to do. And everybody, you know, at the end of, they'd finished talking, closed their eyes, bowed their heads, and he said, "Thanks, Lord, good night." And that was it. Sometimes I think we overcomplicate what prayer is actually about. And not diminishing by saying that the importance of passionate intercessory prayer, which I know that many people within this church have a real heart for and a gifting for as well. But you know, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, it was about having a conversation with Father God. Not a lot different, really, to talking to a person, to a friend, or in a family. When I was, I've been away a lot, quite a bit over the summer, and part of that time away I was in Shetland, and I went one Sunday, I was there to, I think it was a New Life Church service in a community centre. And the chap who was leading the service at the start, he was just talking about some of the things that were happening, some of things that were happening to people and wider afield as well. And then suddenly I realised that God was included in the conversation. He hadn't said, "Oh, now we're going to pray." He'd just started talking to God. Just a natural flowing from a conversation that he was having with the people who worship there. Maybe that's a reminder that when we are talking to each other, God is listening anyway. And you know, just as there are endless ways, particularly these days, of communicating with other people, there are endless ways of communicating with God and involving God in our conversations. One-on-one, groups of perhaps two or more, writing things down, using images. I love imagery. I think imagery can be a very powerful way of both speaking to us and of speaking to God and to other people. Singing. So we've sung those worship songs this morning. They're to God, aren't they? They're not just songs of a tune that we enjoy, but they are part of our prayer life, our life of prayer. So I don't think we should do any more talking about prayer. I'm not going to speak for any longer. I feel that we actually as a church need to think, we just need to pray. And perhaps for many of us, overcome some of the natural reserve that we have, the concerns that we have, and just talk. Sometimes in when we meet on a Monday in worship group, we have a time of prayer together. And particularly if I'm sat with one particular person who I know finds prayer difficult, we just talk. I just say, you know, we'll just talk about what has been going on. God is listening in. He's hearing. He's part of our conversation and our fellowship. It doesn't need to be formulaic in any sense, in that sense. So we have four options. There were four, if we can have the next slide, please. There were four passages of scripture, which obviously you can't see at all on there. So I'm going to find them on here and read them. Four passages of scripture that our minister Paul had put for us to look at this morning. And so there are four options for you to choose to do for the next 10 or 15 minutes, okay? It's not a rotation of activities like we sometimes have at all-age worship. You just pick one and do it, okay? So you can choose to sit on your own where you are and pray silently. One of the verses was from Matthew 6, and verse 6 says, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling on like pagans. Just talk to God. Or think God and the desires that you have and the things that he lays on your heart. You can decide to sort of stay where you are with the people that you are. I'm assuming you're sat with people that you are comfortable sitting with, because that's generally what we tend to do when we come to church. And talk about the things that you find difficult about prayer. The next slide, which you could put up, please, Craig, is easier to read. It's got some questions on it. So if you'd like to talk together about those things, to think about them, and then to actually, we're really good to have some feedback. I'm not going to ask you to share at all, but on the tables there are some thought clouds, and just write what you've talked about, things that you find difficult, the ways in which the church could perhaps help you to overcome things that you find difficult in prayer, and then I will give those back to Jacob, and the leadership team can have a think about them. And that bit arose out of the 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-17, about praying continually, which was up on the screen before. There's an opportunity to pray with others for the needs of the world. So if you feel that you want to do that this morning, then if you go over there, Mike's going to be over there. There's a map of the world. There was a map of Great Britain, but it's fallen down. Oh, symbolic, prophetic. End of October. Hey, let's not go there. Pray for needs of the world and for countries and for our country. Desperate need of prayer. Sorry? Pardon? European blue tack. No, it's not your edge. I said, let's not go there. Ephesians 6 and verse 18 says we are to pray with all requests. We're to pray for all people. That means not just us here, but people across the world, both those who are Christians, missionaries, and those who are not. And the fourth option is to go into the quiet room, which will be quiet. There are things set out in there which I'm very grateful to Diane Veal. There are some candles. There are some ideas just for listening prayer. And if you particularly want to sit before God and just listen, there are, as I say, ideas. There are some prayers that you can read through in there. Colossians 4:2, which was the fourth passage that Paul had for this morning, tells us to be watchful in prayer. So that means not just babbling on our requests, but actually listening to God, as we would do in a conversation that we have with somebody else, that we listen to what they're saying. We need to listen to God. And then we're going to come back together, and I've got something else for us to do as a sort of commitment as well. So I'm just going to pray, and then if you would like to either, as I say, stay where you are or move to one of those areas. Some of you want to form a group. There's tables over there as well, but as I say, there are things on the tables nearby where you are as well. Father, thank you that you just delight to hear us talking to you. Whatever that's about. There are times when you want us to be quiet and to be silent before you so we can hear what you're saying, whether that's through reading your word or through that still small voice. There are times when you want us to be passionate about praying for the great needs that there are in our own country, particularly amongst young people and across the world, for those who are suffering, for those who are ill. Father, help us to spend this time now just thinking and praying in whatever way you lead us to be doing. Amen.